to Brentford's strengths. We give goals away. We miss chances. We didn't defend well. Second half, let's be brutally honest, the second half, we didn't create enough. It was only at the end when we rallied, threw the kitchen sink at them, but it wasn't enough. The only consolation, Mo Salah back on the goal trail to make it 3-2. It will also be a case of two penalties. Gakpo had one turned down. A VAR intervention was the killer penalty, really, when Thiago scored to make it 3-1. Brentford in front, winning through a Torres header. Then they went 2-0 up through Kevin Sharner. Kirkes pulled the goal back. Penalty by Thiago. Salah scored late on. In the end, it wasn't enough. Disappointing night. Brentford 3, Liverpool 2.
Yes, it was another hugely disappointing league defeat, as described there by our commentator, Steve Hunter. Coming up in this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Andy Robertson, as well as our pundits, former Reds Sammy Lee and Jay Spearing, alongside myself, Becky Davis, and our remote fan panel too. First, though, to David James, who's watched the action unfolds at the GTEC Community Stadium alongside Matt Smith.
Thank you, Becky. Yeah, let's get the post-match thoughts of the man alongside me. We watched it close, and it was a bit chaotic. Is that fair, and is that part of the problem?
It is slightly frustrating as well, because I said early goals don't tend to end in wins, but Brentford made it physically very difficult for Liverpool. I mean, there was moments in that game where it was more akin to a rugby match, just up in the air. I'm not saying that they shouldn't do that.
No.
It made Liverpool uncomfortable. They took the chances. We mentioned before the game about the long throw being a threat. First goal comes straight from a long throw, and you know that frustration, I think, will be there in the Liverpool changing room right now, that they couldn't deal with Brentford's physicality in the end.
Yeah, it felt, didn't it, watching from a few yards away, that it was a much more Brentford game of football than a Liverpool game of football.
Yeah, but Nana has talked about this already this season. You know, the game has changed now. There's a lot more direct play from teams, and the direct battle here, the physical battle, the aerial battle, if you like, for Brentford played into their hands. And I actually feel for Liverpool, because I'm still questioning, you know, after the hope that we had with the Kirkes goal right at the end of the first half, the penalty decision against Virgil van Dijk. I mean, we've seen on the screen, we don't get the privilege of seeing what VAR see, but it looked like it was outside the box. And given the toughness of the battle they had today, that definitely wouldn't have helped anything.
Yeah, it was obviously tight. And as you say, we've only seen what perhaps the folks at home have seen compared to what VAR are allowed to see. But I understand the line going into the area could sometimes end up as a penalty. But if it's on the line coming out of the area, which this was...
Well, the line is the box. Yeah. So anything on the line is essentially inside the box. But what we saw looked like contact outside the box.
Yeah.
And given that, as I say, Liverpool had, you know, really struggled in that first half, if you like, for them to, you know, get the goal from Kirk, as I said, that to go against them, and then it is a proper uphill battle, and that's even more like the rugby analogy that I used before. You know, just high balls in, more of a bum fight than a football match at times, and with a spirited end there, 89th minute. We said, you know, he talks about late goals. I mean, we'd have preferred this one to be the winner or at least an equaliser, but you know, Brentford, Sammy Lee said it in the studio. This has become a bit of a fortress, and they proved that today.
Yeah, they did. I mean, again, we're clutching at straws, really, in defeat. But Kirkes, who has had a difficult time, certainly had another one tonight for large parts, got a booking but did get a goal. And Salah, who probably you would expect most weeks to be scoring, hadn't scored for a while, so got a goal. Yes, it's in defeat, but still, something.
Yeah, I mean, if you are taking positive. I mean, Kirkes coming in from the far side, from the right-hand cross from Bradley, which is perfect wing play, if you like, even though he's playing in the fullback position. But Mo, I mean, he took the ball out of the air so well.
He did.
And it was instinctive, quick half volley with his right foot into the top corner, to the point that Quiven Kelleher, I didn't even think he saw it. It was a fantastic finish. Unfortunately, a little too late. And I'd say there was a rally right at the end there, wasn't there? Which, even with the referee adding on a couple of minutes from somewhere.
The other referee. The second referee,
yes, of course, because of the replacement at half-time. But, I mean, there's not too many rays of light there. But if you need something to get a hold of, because four defeats now in the Premier League in a row, something that Arne won't be used to in his own career as a manager, and Liverpool definitely not used to as a club in the Premier League.
No, and they go on to the Carabao Cup game in midweek against Crystal Palace. We said in the pre-match what they'd really like is a very undramatic, controlled game, and they got nothing like that.
No, and I mean, it's becoming a bit of the same.
Yeah,
again, from the opposition as well.
Yes.
So if teams start thinking they're going to win the physical battle, then I wouldn't expect anything different from Crystal Palace. I've got to say, before the game, I didn't mention it, but you know, London has not been a good travel for Liverpool this season so far. So there aren't any London trips, I don't think, for a little while. So hopefully things will turn around.
Thank you, David.
Big thanks to Mats and to David there down at the G-Tech. As mentioned, Sammy Lee and Jay Spearing alongside me here in the studio. Jay, it was a little step forward midweek, and tonight just feels like a massive step back, doesn't it? Four league defeats now in a row, which would have been unthinkable, wouldn't it, a few weeks ago, but that's where we find ourselves tonight.
Yeah, I don't think, if you asked anybody the question, do you think this would happen? I think everybody would say no. Where's it come from? It's probably hard to put a pin on where it is, you know, where it has come from. We're in just a little bit of a difficult moment. I think in all the games, if I'm totally honest, apart from tonight, I felt that we controlled. Even in the first half, I felt we controlled this first half, even though I know we went in 2-1 down. There was a large part where we were dominant with the ball. Did we really test Queeve enough? Probably not. But yeah, it's never nice to lose. It's never nice to lose four games on a bounce. We're in this little bit of a predicament now where we did go one step forward in the Champions League, but our bread and butter is the Premier League.
Yeah.
And we're in a tough spot. You know, sided with a little bit of maybe an injury for Curtis Jones adds to the, you know, salt to the wound. It's a real difficult moment, but you know, I'm going to try and spin and say that we can do is try and stay together as a team. The manager will have his staff with him, the players will still be fighting for each other, which are clear to see that they are. Just things aren't falling, and we're in a tough moment.
I mean, the lads will stick together, Sammy. There's no doubt about that, and they will come through this tough time. Of course they will. But right now, tonight, it's a really tough moment.
It's a very tough moment, and we've been here before in recent weeks, which is so disappointing. You know, we spoke before about dealing with their game plan, which is going to be long balls, second balls, long throws, second balls. And we can see it from the long throw. We can see it from a counter-attack. You know, we have to be positive. I get that. And the one positive thing for me is Slob's life performance. Terrific he was. But we have an issue. There's no doubt about it. And I've been watching for many years. We had 67% possession. And yet you're dominant with the ball, as you say. Didn't really test Kuiva, as you said before, Gallagher. But it's without the ball that I'm concerned about. Apart from Slobberslide, we've lost nearly every second ball. We're on the attack.
Only was a game momentum.
We're on the attack. They clear the ball. And they're on a counter against us. You know, I say we're supposed to be positive, but I don't want to fool or pull the wool over your viewers' eyes. You know, for me, as I say, it's a long ball, second ball. We very, very rarely won second balls. And it's a basic principle of football. 67% possession we had, fine. We didn't create enough chances for me. And again, as we said in commentary, apart from when we got frantic in the last 3 or 4 minutes of added time, we never really put them under that great deal of pressure, though we had possession. But again, I repeat, it's without the ball that we're struggling. You know, the gaps are just ridiculous. They're receiving second balls nearly every single time, and it's a counter-attack. I repeat, yeah, it's our job to be positive. But we've also got to be honest as well, you know. And if it's one trying to address things, as I say, I'll be perfectly honest with you, but I'd be reluctant to say it, because I say it every time I come on this show, clean sheet. And within three, four minutes we've conceded a goal from a long throw, second ball off the long throw. And we spoke about it in the preview and leading up to the show. So I'm sorry, as I say to you, positive, Slob is like, and I suppose more getting the goal. But we want more out of everybody. Well, I do anyway.
It's so hard, isn't it, Jay? Because as Sammy said there, many times you felt they were architects of their own downfall to an effect.
Yeah, I think the goals that we conceded were kind of down to... So I mentioned it, you know, on comms that we knew exactly what Brentford wanted to do. They wanted to get their long throw-ins in, they wanted set pieces, they want corners. Within the first 4 minutes, you know, we passed the ball out of play. by our own 18 yard box, and we give them two long throw-ins. You know, and that's just it's a little bit of basics of what, you know, you don't want to give them what. I think it took for Robertson in the second half where he was down by his own box and he hooked it down the line. That's probably what we should have done in the first like 3-4 minutes rather than let it go out of play. We then put ourselves on the back foot, and like Sammy said, we conceded after 4 minutes by knowing that's exactly what Brentford wanted. Okay, we didn't win the first contact, but in the second contact, you're happy, ready for the second phase. Kerkez isn't tight enough to the Brentford player to score the goal, so it's the first phase and second phase, and straight away we put ourselves on the back foot.
I know the game has changed, but you know, but we say they want this place to be a fortress. But we always say, first 10, 15 minutes, get them 10, keep the crowd quiet. What do we do? As you say, we give them two throw-ins, which is one of their big strengths, one of their biggest dangers, their biggest threats from our play.
It's not just conceding the first goal in this game, though, is it? And that's the problem. It's kind of the pattern that seems to be developing. I mean, there's quite a damning stat. Now conceded in the opening 15 minutes of four consecutive Premier League games. For the first time in almost 30 years, January 1996 was the last time that happened. You know, it's very much a record they would not want to be a part of.
Do you know what? I think there was a period, not last season, the season before, and I think we went on a mad run where we conceded first, and we were always having to score 2, 3, 4 goals to get ourselves into the game. Just at the minute, though, I feel as if we are, obviously, we're conceding, like you say, that the stat is there for everybody to see. My only little bit of concern is that we're not being clinical enough to then score 2, 3, 4 goals in a game, but then we're also quite open to concede more than one. And that seems to be the thing that's happening over the last couple of games, along with that stat that you just said.
But, Jay, we said before, and we'll always score goals, as we did. We scored 2 away from home. But, again, we've got to keep a clean sheet.
Yeah.
We have to keep a clean sheet. I'm sorry to your viewers, but it's a basic principle of football. You can't keep on conceding goals, no matter where you are, in whatever league. And we've got forward players who can score as goals. But we're, I think it was said in commentary, we're not defending anything. And defending is as a team, by the way. It's not just about four or five. It's the whole team. So when I'm saying I'm critical of the whole team defending. One of our best defenders back in my day was Ian Rush. He was our first line of defence. Again, I know the game has changed, but I still say to you, when you haven't got the ball, that you're all defenders. You're all working tirelessly to get the ball back. And I have to say to you, we're not doing that enough.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of remember in a way when the last clean sheet was, but for people who are trying to remember, it was actually back at Burnley the last time they got a clean sheet, and only 2 this season in the Premier League, Arsenal, the other one being Arsenal. Yeah, I mean, as you say, it's the base that you build everything on. It. Is that the thing I've had to push you that's worrying you the most?
No, that always has been, but it's our work against the ball. Slobber's eye apart, I've got to be honest with you, because I think he's been fantastic, the games that we've seen him play. But we're far too easy to play against, Becky. You know, as I said, we're throwing balls in. Second ball, we don't win second balls. And the next thing, they're on a counter against us. It happened against Bournemouth. You know, Chelsea, the same thing. You know, so for me, the fact that clean sheet comes from defending as a team, and we are not doing that.
The worry, obviously, is when you look at the table, Jay. I mean, listen, it's still extremely early days, but it was an opportunity to kind of cut down that little gap that is at the top with the likes of Arsenal. And, you know, that is what you don't want, is for them to move further ahead and then a real gap starts to develop.
Yeah, like I said, that's our bread and butter. You know, the Premier League is our weekly one. You know, the Champions League will come and go. Competitions will, you know, will fit in between. But our bread and butter for Liverpool Football Club is the Premier League. We don't want that gap to get too far that we can't chase.
Which it's absolutely not.
No. Listen, it's nowhere near panic stations. There's a few fundamental things that we need to really knuckle down on. I agree with Sammy. If you have a base of clean sheets, always going to create opportunities to score. We've got enough firepower going forward to create opportunities, to create chances, to score goals. You know, the squad that we've got, they're capable of scoring more than half of our squad could probably score more than 10 goals a season if they wanted to, because of the amount of chances that we do create. But we have to have a foundation of clean sheets to try and help us move forward and win games of football. And yeah, I agree, the goals that we're conceding over the last couple of weeks for me are probably a little bit too easy, and teams aren't having to do a lot to score goals against us, where we seem to have to do quite a lot to score a goal.
There's plenty that we could kind of pick over in terms of big moments, and we'll get into the finer details, probably the goals, a little bit later on. But the The penalty decision, Sammy, that kind of seals it, if you like, for Brentford, VAR intervene, having refused to intervene earlier on with what happens with Cody Gakpo.
I'll ask the question, why, Becky?
Well, I was going to ask you that.
I'll ask the question why, because honestly, I don't understand it. Because the first one against Gakpo, I've seen them given.
Yeah,
I've seen them given.
Absolutely.
I really have seen. And again, I'm not too sure whether they're talking about whether it was the touch that Van Dijk did on the lad was on the line or outside the box. I don't know. But what I'm saying, and I don't know what the ruling is. I really don't. I wish it did, because it seems to change every game. You know, again, why didn't he intervene in the Gakpo
one? It's an opinion
one?
Of someone at Stockley Park, isn't it, really, that's made a decision, that's decided to
do you know what I think that's obvious, that?
To whether it's clear and obvious, where you're not helping. Like, they're not helping the referee in my eyes at all. I felt the referee in the first half, I felt he actually had a decent first half, apart from that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I felt he let the game go. It became a little bit of a decent game of football, and I felt he actually controlled it quite well. You know, they were kind of like going down quite easy, but he ignored it and let them carry on. But the second half referee kind of can flip the game on its head, and there's a lot more stop-starts.
But Jay, before it got to that, it was the intervention of VAR.
Yes, yeah,
you
know, yeah.
And I don't, as you say, I agree, the referee, he was putting the time on that they were wasting.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't understand why where all the commotion was on, yeah. The benefit when we scored the goal. And now I realise because they said that it went over time, but that was the time allotted to us.
Has he not given, does Cody Gakpo get contact made on him? Is that why he's not intervened? I don't know. I'm trying to think of a reason.
I don't know, because
why.
Really that's what VAR is there for.
Yeah.
For these, you know, at the end of it, you say clear and obvious. I don't know what that means anymore. All I'm saying is, for me, he looked at the one on Virgil, yet he didn't seem to get it. He didn't intervene on the one on Gakpo. And we've seen penalties given.
Absolutely,
like that.
for that.
I totally agree, by the way. I'm just trying to think of something of why they wouldn't give it. Maybe because of contact or not.
The definition of clear and obvious seems to vary wildly game by game.
It's too open.
And person by person.
Yeah.
I would have.
Always be subjective.
Of course,
so.
Exactly. And I would have thought that's what you thought was clear and obvious. I thought that's what VAR was brought in for a situation that aren't clear and obvious, to clear them up, to help people out. But for whatever reason, they now decided they didn't want to get involved in the first one. Who decided that? Yet they got involved in the second one. Who decided that?
It begs the question, if you've got a human at Stockley Park, you might as well just go with the human on the pitch.
It's the same, and VAR's been brought in to protect the humans on the pitch who have been making all the mistakes.
Yeah.
And them same humans, they're in Stockley Park making the decisions there. It's baffling. But listen, that was the decision on that. But we're talking about the issues. It shouldn't come down to just that, in my opinion. It shouldn't. But obviously, it's a contentious decision.
Yeah, they're two big decisions.
They are two
in the
big
game,
decisions.
Though.
I could change games.
Yeah.
It certainly did change the game. Cause
that one's at 1-0, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Cody Gakpo one's at 1-0. And probably, 60 seconds later, 90 seconds later, they then go and score a second. Then
it kind of straight away
puts us on the back foot with two goals down. And then, that's to say, the huge decisions in games that can.
Crucial
and
moments.
Even, straight after the first, even into the second half, you know, the next goal is. I know it's a bit of an obvious saying, but the next goal is crucial.
Yeah.
And they were 2-1.
Yeah.
We have got ourselves back in the game and we could go on to win it.
We had the momentum going forward.
So, yeah, the decisions that have changed the game in huge, huge parts.
OK, it's a tough game to talk about, so I'm going to give these two a break and head down to the G-Tech now. Andy Robertson is with LFC TV's Matt Smith.
Andy, another difficult night.
Yeah.
How did you see it?
Just thought we didn't do enough off the ball. On the ball, I thought first half we created a couple of moments, kept the ball quite nice, but you know, you can't come to Brentford away and just expect to play them off the park, because they're always going to be ready to fight. They're always going to be ready to, you know, put bodies in the box when it comes to set pieces, put the balls in behind, pick up second balls. You know what you're going to come to here. They're always the same and they're so good at it. And it felt to me as if we were just a yard off it in terms of that. They picked up so many second balls, and then the ball's in behind and our back line are running back the way to try and head the ball, which is so difficult as it is. And we know how difficult, you know, how good a set piece team they are. We've worked on the long throw, and everything 5 minutes in you concede three long throw-ins, one of them you concede from. It's not good enough, and you play into their hands, and then you've got an uphill battle from there. Kept fighting, but nowhere near good enough.
And having got one back just before half time, you thought, oh, maybe corner turn, but they came out and kind of squeezed again, didn't they, and played their game.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Obviously coming in 2-1, you know, probably didn't deserve it really, and you come in, okay, we've got a chance here, we can get back in the game, good time to score a goal right at half time. Come out second half and I thought they started the second half really well. They were the ones pushing again, winning set pieces, winning corners, and yeah, we didn't push on from that. And then you just try and they get a penalty, whether it's on the line, off the line, whatever, but then you're 3-1 down and it's just about throwing bodies forward and it becomes chaotic and there's no structure to it, which is never good. We get a goal, okay, we try and push, we nearly score right at the end, but to be honest, if we got a draw today, it would have probably flattered us.
Yeah, it feels like you want control, and it's a hard thing to find
Moment. Yeah, but you have to fight for the control. Yeah. No team in the Premier League and the Champions League, but let's focus on the Premier League just now. Nobody's going to just go, you go. You take the ball and, you know, we'll try and defend. Nobody does that. They always have a game plan against us, and every team, you know, all the managers in the Premier League are so talented, and everyone, especially teams that have got a full week to prepare and everything like that, they would have had a clear game plan, and I think they would have to ask their manager, but I think they played theirs perfectly and we didn't play ours at all, and that makes it so difficult. And like I said, if you just think you're going to show up and all of a sudden they're going to drop off, we're going to have control and we'll just wait until we kind of score, never ever happens. I've been here, this is my ninth season, and I think maybe it's only happened once or twice, and you know, if we expect that, then we're in big bother. So you have to fight for that control. You have to fight, first of all, you have to fight for the second balls, fight for the first balls, and try and feel your way into the game, and then the quality will come through. And I felt as if we never got a grip on the game at all today, and had moments, but not enough moments to go and really, you know, put them under pressure.
So just hard work for better days. That's as simple as that, really.
Got to work harder. It's as simple as that. In training and games, recovering better. You know, all of us have to. When you're at this football club, people demand results, and you know, the fans travel up and down. You know, I guarantee quite a lot of them in their way in today. We're in Frankfurt as well, and they spend a lot of money to come and support us. And in a difficult moment, the only way to get out of it is work even harder and run that bit more, and look after yourself that bit better. And that's what we've got to do, because the results have been nowhere near good enough over the last 5-6 games, and we're the only ones that can get us out of it, and we know that. And you know, starting Wednesday again, there's no rest. You know, there's no time to regroup. We've got games, and sometimes it can be a good thing that you've got such a quick, yeah, you know, turnaround, and we can go again. But you know, we need to start playing better, and we need to start showing a lot more consistency in our game.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, tough words from Andy Robertson, who, credit to him, Jay, is always one of the first to front up when times are difficult. But I think it took him 3 seconds of that interview to say the work off the ball was just not good enough tonight.
Yeah, listen, I thought his interview there was class. Yep. You know, I thought he spoke real truth, and he spoke like a leader. Yep. And that's what he is. And he's going to be one that's hit him. He won't be hitting the most out of them all, but you know, he'll hurt him more because he knows the standards that he expects, and he knows what this club is about. He's right, it's on results, and he got it to a T. And Sammy's mentioned it, the out of possession stuff, and going to somewhere like Brentford, they're going to want to play long ball, second ball, and if you're not going to win the first, you have to win the second. If you're not going to win the, you know, you have to fight, you have to work harder, and then our quality will finally show. But we didn't match them in large part of the games. We, you know, we didn't gain momentum with the second balls, and yeah, I felt that he spoke class, and he's a true leader, and he's right. The only way we can get ourselves out of this is by working harder on and off the field.
I think the word that was mentioned the most by Andy Robertson, and Jay just said it again there, was fight. I think Robbo said it well into double figures in that interview. Fight for control, fight for the ball, and just fight to get back on track, Sammy.
Yeah, I mean, and he said work harder as well. You know, at the end of the day, it's a very simple game. It's a very simple game. He hit the nail right on the head there. That we lost nearly every second ball. They knew their game plan, long balls, second balls, long throws, second balls, second phases, and we lost out, and we created our own problems a lot of the time. You know, they've got to work smarter as well. You know, I keep on saying, away from the ball, out of possession, that's when the whole team has got to work. Can't just be left for a certain unit, a midfield unit, a defending unit. It's got to be the whole team. The moment you lose that ball, you've got to hunt as in packs, not as individuals, as in packs, to try and win and deny the opposition time and space on the ball. A lot of teams have been doing that against us, and it seems to unsettle us. For me, it's not about working harder. Not only about working harder, we have to work smarter. When we see, we know when we lose the ball, the moment we lose the ball, then we work together as a team, every unit, defending unit, midfield unit, forward unit, to go and win the ball back. Hunt in packs, not as individuals.
Thanks, Sam. I think we've kept our fan panel waiting long enough. Let's get their thoughts now. We've got Chris, we've got Conrad, and we've got Josh. Josh, I'll start with yourself. I'm sure you share our frustrations here in the studio. It was a really tough watch tonight.
Yeah, I'd have been happy to wait longer to speak about that, to be honest, Becky. Just sit here and listen to Jay and Sammy and Andy pick the bones out of that one, because, yeah, not good enough from Liverpool again. It's a a really honest assessment from Andy Robertson, but I'm a bit tired of hearing honest assessments or needing to hear honest assessments. To be honest, I'd like to see that honest work translate into the pitch now. You know, Sammy hits the nail on the head for me when he says about keeping clean sheets and things. There's so many different things that go into that, and Liverpool are starting games off too badly. The shape looks bad. The team selection before the game is a questionable one from the manager. Again, to be honest, playing too many out-of-form players, and I thought Kirk has looked like a lad who's suffering so much for confidence in that first half in particular, and his positioning is what's killing us on that left-hand side of the pitch. I'm afraid the positioning of him, how that's contributing to the shape he's positioned so high up the pitch, it means that when you lose the ball, even if you are in Brentford's half rather than our own half, we're susceptible to counter-attacks, and that's how we concede the second goal tonight. So yeah, not good enough. I'm sure it will improve at some point, but I'd like to see some changes from the manager, some tweaks to that shape and to that selection to get some more of those bigger personalities like Andy Robertson on the pitch.
I'm going to go to Conrad, because Conrad, you are joining us from Goa, so it's the early hours of the morning there. I reckon around 3 o'clock in the morning, am I right, where you are joining us from? So you've stayed up late to watch that. I imagine you're not too pleased with what you've seen.
Yeah, it's about 3:10 a.m. right now here in India, in Goa. Well, another disappointing performance. We've seen quite a lot in the last few weeks. And I don't know what to say, actually. The team has, they're playing like complete strangers among themselves. As the rest of them have always pointed out, that the biggest problem is losing the duels and second balls. But even in position, they're not doing much with the ball. They're not trying different kinds of tactics, what they did last season with the through balls and with the overhead balls. I don't know. This season, somehow the players are playing like complete strangers among themselves. I know there's a lot of new players as well that's into the team, but I think they've had a decent preseason. Everything should have been fallen into place right now, but it's just not happening on the pitch. Also, tactically, it's been just haywire, especially in the last few. When you're searching for an equalizer, you just drop all the attacking players onto the pitch. It's kind of a panic tactic. It's not like a composed one from Slot. So I think a lot has to change, and hopefully in the coming weeks we'll see a little more difference.
Chris Coughlin, apologies, Conrad. I'm going to move on to Chris Coughlin and let you get your say. But I mean, Conrad's mentioned a lot of things there that he wants to see improve. What is concerning you most about this current situation?
I think what's concerning me most is that I just don't see a plan. Game after game, whatever personnel are on the pitch, I'm not seeing a plan that they're all working together. At the moment, as well, and the lads have alluded to it, effectively starting games 1-0 down will harm any team, because you're having to work hard to score at least two goals. And just conceding so early, not them making the most of the chances. I know it didn't happen today, but recently they're conceding late goals. So everything that could possibly go wrong, genuinely going wrong. And just to back up what Josh said about Sammy's point about the clean sheets, Arsenal spawn clean sheets effortlessly. And you can see, like last week, they did not play well at Fulham at all. All it took was one set piece and they get the goal, and then they got 3 points. And that is, they're keeping it simple. They're not playing amazing football, but they're keeping it simple. And the most concerning thing for me is, I thought this, even at half-time today, 4 games ago, Liverpool had a 5-point lead. Tomorrow, they could be 7 points off Arsenal. And I know it's very early days, as you say, Becky, but it's clearly not a good feeling that the lads are losing so much, because obviously then you've got to try and work harder to get back into it. And I just think there's that much going wrong at the moment. The second balls, conceding chances, just really not knowing what the next step forward is. And I think it's quite ironic, because when I looked at the team selection, Salah and Kirkez that scored, they're probably two players that I wouldn't have started today, especially based off the Frankfurt result. I know Brentford are much more compact than Frankfurt, but that, for me, again, I don't know whether it just kind of sent the wrong message, really, kind of reverting to what had been from the week. And I mean, you know, as two central midfielders, Jay and Sammy, I just wonder, when it comes to control, And I know you say about Szoboszlai, I wasn't totally convinced by Szoboszlai today. I think some of his passes was quite slack. I think Curtis Jones was Liverpool's best player today. But that central midfield area where Liverpool was so good last year, why is it not the case this year? I'd be very interested to hear what they think about that.
Well, we'll beg to differ over who was the best player, Chris, if you don't mind me on that. Right?
But, yeah,
well, one thing I will say, but even our 66-67% possession, and I've been saying this for some time, and I don't know whether you agree, Jay, when we have possession, you're playing against a low block. For me, you've got to move the ball quicker with better tempo, because what happens then, low block, they're all organised. But if you keep on moving the ball sideways with pace, with tempo, the gap will appear. That's when you can penetrate. I've had this feeling for quite some time. So although we've had possession of the ball, we've dominated, but I'd still like us to do more. I know people say we're creating chances, but I'm talking about clear-cut chances. When you're up against a low block, the best thing, the way I find it, is to move the ball quicker and wait for that gap to appear and then play the penetrating pass and then get the finish in. All I was saying about Kurt has been fantastic the last two games. I mean, he's played two consecutive games for the first time, I think, back for a while, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think Dom has been just terrific. Don't be, he's playing a couple of different positions as well. And I think his intensity in and out of possession, for me, is what I want from a midfielder.
Yeah, no, I totally take that on board. Absolutely. I think there were just one or two times today, even there was one at the very end of the first half, I know it didn't come to anything, where he's chasing the ball down and puts out for a throw-in, and I would have rather put it out for a corner.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the way that was all going. But I just think Liverpool are almost the masters of lowering themselves to other teams' game plans at the moment. And that is, again, really frustrating, because you're almost going into any situation almost thinking, right, Liverpool have to score at least two today. And clearly the players, you know, it has an effect on a squad as well. And again, the camera, whoever the camera man was on the games, they clearly wanted the camera to pan to Arne Slot as much as possible. And again, when I talk about a plan, and obviously the players have to do it on the pitch, like Andy Robertson says, Arne Slot's got to figure out a plan of what he thinks his best team is and how to combat this form.
Let's take a look ahead now at what lies in wait, and it's quite a tough few fixtures that the Reds have got coming up. Obviously, it's the Carabao Cup midweek this coming week at Anfield against Crystal Palace. Then another home game that the bonus, I suppose, is three home games in a row now. Aston Villa visits on Saturday nights, and then it's a small matter of Real Madrid at home in the Champions League just before Bonfire Night, Tuesday the 4th of November. And then the next away game is at the Etihad against Manchester City. Josh, that run of fixtures at the moment looks quite fearsome.
Yeah, it makes you nervous, really, which is not a thing I've had to say many times about Liverpool in my lifetime, really, let alone under Arne Slot. It's a you know, a group of fixtures that make you concerned, because there's not much to hang your hat on that's positive about Liverpool at the moment. I think, you know, both David James and Sammy in the studio have referenced that there aren't many positives to hang your hat on at the moment. There's going to be some really tough challenges to come for Liverpool, and the only thing I can sort of hope, looking at those kind of fixtures, is that there's some you know, challenges that lie there in terms of the level of opposition. You look at the Real Madrid and Manchester City game in particular, and you think they're two teams who are in much better moments than Liverpool, look like they've got much more of a plan and much more talent that's performing than Liverpool do. So maybe it's just what Liverpool need, that sort of challenge to raise the game to. Although saying that, the United game last weekend should have been a big enough game for Liverpool to raise the level to be honest, and they couldn't do that either. So yeah, it definitely is a nervy time to be a Liverpool fan. I just hope there's more sort of chinks of light that can come through now, and we can start to see some progress in this play.
Can I just say something, chaps? I'm only commenting on what I've seen. You know, say about, like, you know, not to hang my hat on, but I'd have to say to you, the good thing about Liverpool Football Club, and we've always said this, it's about the next game. And we've got these fixtures coming up, which are no easy fixtures, but it's just like us to stand up to the challenge, you know, accept the challenge and overcome the challenge. You know, so when I'm only trying to be honest when I say, give me assessment on what I've seen, but there's always a positive you can take forward, is that it's the next game. Now, so we've got to go into the next game with positivity. Why go into it? But that being said, the only way we can be positive about the next game is addressing the issues, what we've just been seeing. And I'm hoping that Arnie and his backroom staff, they'll be addressing the problems that they're seeing, correcting the problems. So when we play Palace, when we play Villa, when we play Real Madrid, when we play City, then problems hopefully will be addressed, because that's our function, yeah, as a coaching staff, yeah, is to have a look at the film, see what went wrong, and try and correct what went wrong. And so for me, that's where there's always positivity, particularly Liverpool Football Club, because there's a next game coming up. And particularly when you play City and you play Real Madrid, there's not going to be any long balls coming in against them, I don't think, is there? So I have to say to you, so it'll be a different game then. You know, and Palace will be a different game, as will Villa. So my point being is that I don't want to start killing, you know, put the lid on it, because, as you say, it's still only early days. You know, there's always something to aim for at Liverpool Football Club. And it's the next game, which just happens to be Crystal Palace on Wednesday night. So for that reason, yes, we have to look at that. We have to address it. We have to correct what went wrong and make sure that when we go into the next game, that we do come up with all the positives and leave us feeling at the end of the game a lot more positive than what we are now, because there's a lot of football to be played and we cannot afford to just sit down and mope about what's going on.
Tell you what, I'd vote for you after that speech. That was quality, that salary.
Sorry, this could be my last time on the television chat.
It absolutely won't be after that. You'll be sat here next week. Say, comrade, I'll bring you in and speak about Palace, because I suppose a Carabao Cup game, especially the early rounds, are normally ones where we see the boss maybe experiment a little bit. We see some players get some minutes who don't maybe play that much Premier League football, but there is a real need for momentum now, isn't there? So what would you like to see against Crystal Palace at Anfield?
Well, first of all, I'd like to see Chiesa get a start. I think he's been named our player of the month, and it's high time he gets a lot of starts, because he's made a lot of difference when he's come onto the pitch. And I'd like to see more of him in the upcoming games. Also slot, not just the Carabao Cup, the future game as well, slot Arnie Slot needs to make a couple of really bold decisions of keeping out players who are not performing. I feel like I don't know if he's under pressure or he doesn't have the coordination or the thing with the team that he can drop some of the big names, but he needs to make some really bold decisions and help us overcome these defeats. And the Carabao Cup, yeah, some of the fringe players require a game time. I think they will get it. Even though we lost Crystal Palace in the Premier League, they themselves lost to one of a very unknown teams in the Conference Cup. So I think we can take some positives from that and play some of the players who need game time instead of going out with a full strength squad.
Chris, I can see your screen while everyone else is looking at Conrad, and you were nodding vociferously when he was talking about bold decisions. What decisions would you like to see against Crystal Palace then?
I think, you know what, I would go a lot more full strength against Crystal Palace, or a lot stronger against Crystal Palace than I would have originally. And by bold decisions, I think just putting out a team to really excite. I just don't feel excited by watching Liverpool at the moment, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Chiesa, I totally agree with Conrad, and Chiesa probably was one that I would have very much considered starting this evening, because I think he absolutely deserves it. I think, again, even I wonder about Joe Gomez, because I wondered about Joe Gomez maybe starting the last few games, because I don't think Konate's really been on it. But it's ironic, because in the last Carabao Cup game against Southampton, I thought Joe Gomez almost kind of blew his chance a little bit, because I don't think he's performed to the standards that we know he can perform to. So I do think Slot should use Wednesday as a real opportunity to get back on form. Just on the fixtures, Becky, and I just wanted to make this point, you know, I've been really fortunate in my life to at some massive Liverpool games. I was at Barcelona. I was at the one Metropolitano for the Champions League final. That Real Madrid game last year at Anfield, that was genuinely one of the best nights of my life as a Liverpool fan, to see Liverpool beat Real Madrid. And I just want the players, even though I know the new ones not particularly, because they won't experience that, but the players remember from last year the pride of that, how incredible that was. I know it was only a league phase game, but I want to see sporting pride come back. I really want to see that competitive edge, that almost a bit of anger. If you're going to be angry, at losing these games, channel that, use that, use that as focus to get back on track, because that is something that I really want to see. I want to see that passion, as Andy Robertson pointed out. I want to see that pride. I want to see, from all around, people taking command, people being bold and being expressive and being quick, and just everything that this team isn't at the moment. So, and let's not forget, Crystal Palace have very much had Liverpool's number in the last couple of occasions, last couple of meetings. So even just that, getting one over again on Crystal Palace, that would be a big thing on Wednesday, just as a mental blocker being moved out the way. So I honestly think Wednesday is a lot bigger than it was originally to maybe some people. And I think absolutely there's many within the club that should be treating it as such, because also the form that's going at the moment, going out of another cup competition, or going out of a cup competition rather, that would just compound a lot of misery at the moment. So that's why I just think it's really important on Wednesday.
Thank you very much indeed. That is all we've got time for from our fan panel, but a massive thanks to you all tonight. Very quickly, Sammy, on Palace. I mean, the quality of the opposition, and they will fancy themselves in this as well, this competition in general. They've got a taste for silverware now, so you can't afford to take it lightly at all.
No, and as the guy said there, I don't think Liverpool want to take any game lightly, particularly not a cup competition. And again, I always say this, and again, it'll sound like bonus, it's our next game. I mentioned to the boys there, we need to get back on track. You know, it's been four leagues, as we're talking about. You know, okay, this is a cup competition, but it's the next one against Palace, who, as the guy said, they've had our number.
We can hear from the boss now. Here's what Arne Slot has had to say to the media in his post-match press conference.
Arne, obviously another disappointing night. How do you sum your emotions after
that? Like you said, disappointing. Again, you're always hoping if you win a game of football during the week, although it's only 2 days rest when you come over here, that of course you are hoping for a better result, but I was also hoping and expecting a better performance, because the performance was far from what we are used to. Even if we're losing, our performances have been better than tonight.
What would you identify most in that performance that you were disappointed with?
Doing the basics right. Although, if you're 1-0 down, 2-1 down, 3-1 down with the energy in the stadium, that's definitely helpful for them. And they are a very good team in winning duels and winning second balls. So you have to give them credit for that as well. But yeah, of course, it's hard to win a game of football if the other team wins more duels, more second balls than you, especially if that is also something they are playing off. And again, like I've said many times, it's also difficult to win a game of football if the set-piece balance is in their favour.
I mean, that first throw, I think it was their second long throw that they scored from. I mean, I presume you've been preparing for that.
Boy, yeah. 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 It's the only thing we did today and yesterday on the training pitch, right, preparing for that. And the meeting today. So that's not the only thing where we prepared them for, because Brentford is also known for very good set pieces, but they are also, in my opinion, known for a fantastic counter-attack. And that was their second goal. And I think at this moment of time, and that's why it should never be seen as an excuse, but if I say it was a soft penalty, I hope you guys are not going to tell me that is a soft or bad excuse, but it was a very soft penalty to concede.
I think you made a couple of tactical adjustments at half-time, changing from back for 2-3-1, bringing Wirtz more inside and Salah to the right. What was the idea behind that?
No, I think Florian played in the first half also a lot on the inside, but Mo played a little bit more central as well, like we did this week against Frankfurt. But if you are 2-1 down, I was expecting the second half then maybe in moments to be a bit lower, and then it's always good to have Mo on the side where he can get his crosses in his 1v1s. But it wasn't as if the second half was completely ours. That was definitely not the situation. They were in the game a lot. And although we scored a 3-2 and maybe we had a few moments to score a 3-2, they definitely also had their moments to already score the 4-1. Also scored a 4-1.
In both of the defeats recently, and going back to last season, you've been fairly pleased with the performance, but do you think it's fair to say this is the most disappointed you've been with the performance, or certainly up there in your time here?
Yeah. I think it's up there, yeah, in my time here, in terms of losing a game of football. Because normally when we're 2-1 down or 3-1 down or 1-0 down, oh, by the way, after we went 1-0 down, that was the only 20-25 minutes I really liked from our game today. Unfortunately, we had a great moment with Florian that didn't lead to a goal, because then you need maybe to have a little bit of luck that those moments can bring you back into the game and can give us the energy. But after 30 minutes, I think they took the game again with long throw-ins and set pieces and other moments where they were just really good. So again, please don't focus on what I've just said. So they did many things well. And then I think again, it is a crucial moment where just before they scored the 2-0, there was a moment where Cody dribbled inside the box and they didn't play the ball. I think if you would show both situations where the penalty we conceded and that moment, and you show this to every referee in the world, he would tell you maybe both or nothing, but if I have to give one of the two, I definitely would give the one to Cody. But yeah, bad luck for us was that the referee, I don't think he was intended to give a penalty for that, but he thought, let's give them a free kick. But yeah, then the VAR said, yeah, it's inside. So then if you think it's a free kick, then it's a penalty. So that bad luck maybe comes if you play a game like football, like we did today.
Honestly, so what, in a bigger picture, what do you think is happening to explain the difference from last season? Have teams found you out? Is it trying to adapt to all the new signings you've made? Is there, do you think, any sort of feeling that the team's lost its level of performance after the huge high of winning the title? What's led to the dip?
No, quite a few things what you were just saying could have something to do with that. It's definitely, I've said this many times already, that teams have a certain playing style against us, which is a very good strategy to play, and we haven't found that answer yet, and that every time going 1-0 down doesn't really help as well after 5 minutes. So it's a bit of that teams know which strategy to play against us. We are still, even today when we don't play well, able to score two goals and create more chances than only the two goals we scored from open play. But you cannot even compete, which we don't do at the moment. We don't compete up there because we simply concede too many goals. And that is not something I only look at our defense, because that's something we do with 11 players together. It definitely also has to do with if you change quite a lot during the summer, then I think it's not a surprise that it can go a bit like this, but I didn't expect it to go with four losses in a row, let that be clear. But that it's always a bit of a bumpy road if you change, that is not so surprising, but four losses in a row. And, yeah, I don't know if that has been seen as an excuse, but from the last six games we played, it's been five away. So sometimes this is also not really helpful if you're in a run of form that we are. We have to wait and see. He asked to be taken off, but he didn't go off. He walked off instead of needing a lot of treatment. So I have to wait and see. It's a lot of games, and in 3 days there's another one. Four maybe, but there's another one.
That is all we've got time for on this episode of The Reaction. We will be back again on Wednesday night, though, from Anfield after Liverpool's Carabao Cup fourth round tie with Crystal Palace. Until then, if you haven't done already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.